Turn with me to Ezekiel 43, please. Ezekiel 43, verses 1 through 2. I'm going to read this out of the Amplified, if it's all right. Ezekiel chapter 43, verses 1 and 2. Afterward, the man, an angel, brought me to the gate that faces east, a new day. And behold, the glory of God of Israel came from the east, and his voice was like the sound of many waters, and the earth shone with his glory. There is a sound that is coming from the east. Don't miss this. That is coming from the east that is going to sound like many waters. And is God releasing a word of cleansing to the bride that will begin to cleanse and make pure his church for the world to see it is safe to enter in? You're going to see it transpire more and more. You're going to begin to hear so many types of rebukes coming from the pulpits. From how many different people that you hear from, you're going to know that God is speaking about purification, purifying, cleansing, and releasing God's glory. Mark the word of the Lord. 1 Kings 18, verses 41 through 46, New American Standard Bible, reads this wise. Now Elijah said unto Ahab, go up, eat, and drink, for there is a sound of the roar of heavy shower. So Ahab went up to eat and drink, but Elijah went up to the top of Carmel, and he crouched down on the earth and put his face between his knees. He said unto his servants, go up and look toward the sea. So he went up and looked and said, there is nothing. And he said, go back seven times. And it came back on the seventh time. He said, behold, a cloud. As small as a man's hand is coming up from the sea. And he said, go up, say to Ahab, prepare your chariot and go down so that the heavy shower does not stop you. Don't miss this. Don't miss this. The blessing of God is coming, but if you don't hear the prophetic voice of instruction, you can get caught before the blessing comes, and the blessing was not going to bless you. It's going to stop you from doing the work and preparation of the Lord. First, the prophet says, get up, eat, and drink, for I hear a roar, a sound of abundance of rain. First, he says, get up, go up. I hear the sound. That is signifying to us that we need to hear the sound in order for us to rise, to get to a place of position that we can begin to see from a distance to understand what is coming. Then we see in the heavens a sign. What is the sign? A cloud, the size of a man's hand. That the distinction of the cloud says there is a sign in the heavens that I've heard the need for the blessing and it's about to come, but you got to prepare for it. This is what he tells them. Now get your chariots and get down the mountain so that this way the shower doesn't stop you. Don't miss this, because you can miss the abundance of blessing that God has sent for you because you weren't prepared to get there. But it takes prayer and intercession for it to come forth. Every revival that ever broke out before the people ever saw it, was in intercession. It started in a secret place. It started where you couldn't be seen. It started somewhere that nobody ever knew that something was going on. It was in a place that couldn't be seen. It started in a place of no one getting notoriety for what was about to take place. It took place where nobody was the one at the forefront but prayer. And because it took place behind closed doors, then God says, what you do in secret, I will reveal in public. I would display what was taking place in the quiet, hidden places. Even though you're hidden, God is going to display it in the open. We are about to see, and I prophesy this to you, We are about to see the likes of miracle signs and wonders like that of the old Welsh revival, like that of the Catherine Colemans, the John G. Lake, C.S. Lewis, Mary Woodward Edder, all of these revivalists. They did great, massive healings. The people came in masses. Did they come for a word or what did they come for? A demonstration of power. Because it was a clear sound. Don't miss this. It is a clear sound that heaven is invading earth and demonstrating its potential, its purpose, and the mindset and heart of God. That's why people came fluttering to tents. To the tents. Not to air condition. Not to these cushioned chairs. I'm gonna poke fun of it now. And they're so wide, two people can fit on one. Is it saying because church folks have a tendency to go after church and go eat all the sweets and everything that we're getting big? I think it's a prophetic statement. Let me make it wide and more comfortable for you so that you can stay. I find it interesting that when an eagle, the mother eagle, is preparing the eaglet for flight, it makes it uncomfortable and not comfortable. Because the preparation is for it to fly. But if we're too comfortable in our sitting, we're never going to be activated in our doing. Oh, y'all, I'm telling you, y'all want to hear this. We want revival. We want revival. Pray! We can't even get people to pray. Lord, thank you for my food. Amen. That's me. I'll be honest. Thank you, Lord, for my food. Amen. Is that... Oh, they're going to make some people mad. They're going to make some people mad. You know, when you go to the buffet, you know, the buffet. Lord, sanctify this thing. It can be good for my nourishment, mind, my spirit, and my body. He's going to sanctify all that food for you? You got to make better choices. You know, when you're about to sit down and have that double cheeseburger with the jalapenos on there and you get heartburn, Lord, let there not be any heartburn after I eat this. Lord, I bless it in Jesus' mighty name. And you still get heartburn. What? It's the choices we make. Right? It's the same thing. If we want to see revival and we want to see a demonstration of power, what are we doing to bring it forth? The truth of the matter, the Bible says that signs and wonders follow them that believe. So are we full of people that don't believe? Because we're not seeing demonstration? That we begin to lose our hope and our faith and our trust in the Word? Yeah, then there's a need for revival. And I found it so interesting, looking over the history of revivalists, that we would see that the people that would come, they would drive for miles in different states just to get to the tent. So when I was in Africa and we were underneath the tent that sat over 2,500 people, these people came from miles. And if you saw the transportation they had to take just to get there, some of them rode for 3 hours. And they were looking like, you better not be done in 1 hour. It took me longer to get here than your message. So they pull on you for every ounce of it that you got. And I tell you what, it is so easy to minister under that type of pull, that type of hunger. There's actually books for ministers that travel abroad and come back to the States that teaches you not to minister angry at the church. Because over there, there's a hunger. And you get here, there's complacency. I push this, the basketball game is on tonight. I'm not going to go. I'll catch the Facebook recording later. Oh, but they have the ones that you could just go and get the podcast. When are we going to put the kingdom first? And we want revival? We've made it. I'm not bashing, guys. I'm not. I'm just going to talk prophetically for a reason. there is a sound. Can you hear it? God is saying, we're about to do something, but I got to get people in position to receive what is coming. Amen. Proof is in the scriptures. It's in the scriptures. God did nothing without someone being ready and to bring order to receive the blessing. You think that Joseph went through everything in the pit, slavery and all that, just because his brothers didn't like him? No, God had a plan to get him to the palace to save a nation, his people, later on. And he knew, even though he was in prison, he wasn't going to curse God. His gift was still going to be utilized even in the prison. Even when he was in the lower part of the prison, that the baker and the cupbearer turned on him, he wasn't going to get angry like church today. What do you mean you didn't tell Pastor I need to talk to him? Huh? We get all mad. We get in our flesh. I told Pastor I had a word. You didn't tell him I had a word? You didn't tell, I'm gone. I knew that was going to happen. They just don't like my anointing. No, I don't like your spirit. I don't like your attitude. Don't need that. What we need is there to be a heart display that people can say, that's what I want. I want that kind of display. Do you understand? So when we came back from Africa, I was like, Lord, help me. Help me. I just going to share real quick with you, and I promise I'm going to continue on. I'm not stopping this word. I'm going to move on with this word. But I'm going to share this. When we were in Africa, you can ask Elder back there. People would ride a motorcycle, small little motorcycle. They would have the driver, two kids on the tank and on the handlebar. They would have either a spouse or somebody else on the back. Is that it, Elder? Sometimes you would even see, even that amount of people on there, a chicken, a goat, or a pig riding with them on a motorcycle. What's with the chicken and the pig? That was offering for the church. Truth, sir? Truth. Just to get to church, that motorcycle wasn't theirs. They had to rent it. In other words, it was like a taxi. Just to get to church. Now they're giving you means of food for the family, the chicken and the pig. They had to pay the taxi, the what they would call my tutu, the motorcycle, to get to the church service, and they're going to have to pay for it again to get back. Usually 2 to 3 hours away. Sacrifice was already done before they even got to church. Are you seeing that? So when they come into church, they don't care if it's hot. They don't care if you got no chairs. They will sit right down on the floor. Bring what you got and what the Lord has given you. We're not leaving until you are emptied completely. Truth, sir? They wouldn't let us leave for hours because they wanted more. I said, Lord, I want more of this. He says, you sure? And when he asked that question, I backed up. I don't know. That's the truth. Because every revivalist heard a sound. And when they heard the sound, they knew God was doing something. They didn't imagine he was going to use them to that great multitude. But when he began to use them, they heard the sound of God moving about in the meetings, and they would see demonstration of God's display of love. And that would be the healings, the miracles, the signs and wonders. We need to hear the sound. And we've got to move all the distorted sound out of the way. Are you hearing me? Are you feeling it? Amen. That's my job. That's my job. In 1 Kings 18:41 says, I hear the sound of the abundance of rain. This is out of the King James. And this is what it's talking about. There is a sound that translates a disturbance in the atmosphere. That's what that sound says. That sound is a disturbance in the atmosphere. But that's the disturbance coming from God. Don't miss this. Don't miss this. In other words, you're going to gather. As you gather, be listening for my sound. I'm going to condition you to hear the sound of God, the sound of heaven, not the sound of earth, and not the sound of the prince of the airwaves. I will have a disturbance in the airwaves so that you can hear my distinctive sound. And when you hear my sound, you've got to distinguish whether it's a sound and a rally call for war or celebration. We think it's all about the shouting. There's a disturbance in the atmosphere. Since 2018 and going forward, there will produce a powerful disturbance, a sound in the spiritual atmosphere, establishing true, authentic, apostolic reformation, reforming this nation from its foundation and building upward with power. There's going to be a surge. There will be a flow of genuine unity and camaraderie among the ministry gifts working together like never before. The government of God's house will be established, and the glory of God's house will be released. Like a sound of many waters, many people gather in unity for his divine plan. Amen. You're going to see it. Ministries are coming together to do the work of the kingdom. It's no more about one church trying to do all the work. It'll be a conglomerate of churches coming together, locking arms to do the will of the Father for the kingdom of God, so that there can be a distinctive sound and not just one sounding, clanging cymbal. You hear me? Have you ever heard an instrument be played out of tune? But have you ever heard that same instrument out of tune played with other fine-tuned instruments? You can distinguish the one that's out of tune. Meaning that God is saying, I am fine-tuning my church so that they can sound like him and do kingdom work based upon kingdom principles and for the kingdom as a whole. You're going to begin to see it. I'm telling you. Amen. On Acts chapter 2, verse 1 through 4. And we all should know this. Acts chapter 2. This is the birth. Here it is. Here's the birth. Now, I read to you earlier about the signs in the heavens would display his handiwork. Okay? I want you to see the handiwork of God in this scripture. It says, when the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place. And suddenly there came from heaven a sound. It wasn't the wind. It was a sound like mighty rushing wind. It didn't say that the wind came in. It said there was a sound like wind. Here's what you have to understand. We have to distinguish what God is saying and have an understanding. It isn't what you feel. It's what you hear. Because your feelings will lead you astray. Your feelings will get you off course. That means he's not talking about your soulish realm. He's talking about your spirit man to hear the sound.
Amen. Amen. That's good.
And it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Watch this. Nice and plain and clear. They first were sitting when the sound came in. Depicts that the church is in a place of sitting right now, but are we waiting expectantly? We can be sitting and waiting, but waiting on the Lord means you're expectantly, earnestly waiting for something to come. And divided tongues as fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them. And they were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave utterances. Now, watch this. Now, once the power of God was released and came upon them, you begin to read that their language changed. Don't miss this. Your language has to change. You have to begin to change what you're speaking in order to see what you want to see. Watch your mouth. You can't speak what you want to speak. You got to speak what God is saying for you to speak, because there's a people connected to what you're about to say. This is some good stuff, Pastor. Preach. I will. This is what he's saying is, you've been sitting waiting for a move of the Spirit, and when it comes, I'm going to change the way you talk. I'm going to change the way you sound. Amen. Languages that they didn't know. Meaning languages they have never experienced. Why is that important to know? Because after that happened, they were no longer sitting. They left the upper room and went into the streets. Amen. They took what they received in the house, changed the sound that they were used to. They were no longer sitting. They got activated to go out. And there was a people that were called and waiting for them to say the sound that they could hear and understand. And they rallied to them. Wow. Ooh, y'all don't want it. Ooh, Jesus, this is good stuff, darling. This is good stuff. It's a sound. Your language changes. Look, I don't know. I can understand Spanish very well. For me to speak it, it's broken. And I try all the time. I'll call my mom and we're like, ay, pues, mija, ¿cómo estás? Ay, pues, mamá, estoy bien. And then I say, well, what are you doing? Because I get uncomfortable. But even the sound of the different language makes a different sound than my normal voice. I know God's preparing me for a Spanish speaking ministry. I've always believed there can be an interpreter by you. Pues claro que sí. But I know that the sound is different. Now watch this. The Spirit of God came on them, got them out of their comfort zone where they've been waiting. And now they begin to speak in other languages because there was a gathering coming. This because there was a weeks of festivals that was taking place. So people were coming back to their townships where they had been scattered from before. Don't miss this. So when this day of Pentecost came, it was because there was a people that were once scattered that now have been gathered, and now they heard the sound from the origin from before they were scattered, and they knew they were home because someone understood their journey. Someone knew how to speak to them a sound that they could understand. Is this too deep? Is this, we okay? Should I give you the candy-coated one? Jesus loves you. He loves you enough to change the sound in you. They come out now. Now there is a display of God's power. Now watch this. Here's what the world thinks. This is what the Bible says in the scripture. That the world system thinks that they're drunk. But they're speaking in languages that they can hear. Wait a minute. How is it you're speaking Cantonese that I can understand? And that's not your origin. Display of God's love. Because he cares so much to have them understand the sound. That on that very day, 3,000 were added to the church. That's revival. Amen. That's revival. Yes, sir. Because they heard a sound they could understand. Amen. Not a sound that was just a noise. Trust me, There's a lot of noise going on in many churches and many things out in the world. And a lot of it sounds the same. Sometimes we make too much noise. And we think, oh, this is good, this is good. No, you're just making noise. Be the first to say it. But my heart is to want to do God's will. See people touched, changed, transformed, delivered, set free, encouraged, empowered, and released. Amen. The truth of the matter is, you're not mine. You're His. Amen. So why would I be worried to say, I lost sister so-and-so, brother so-and-so, that whole family left. God says, if one leaves, I'll add more. Amen. You're not to hoard them in. Teach, reveal, unlock, equip, and if they go, they go. Bless them. Is that a hard thing to understand? That's the sound of God. Yes. You know what I find very interesting? Jesus took his disciples with them and walked with them, and then he tells them, all right, go and do what I just showed you. Oh, by the way, take nothing with you. Take no purse with you, no food, nothing. Go. And then they come back so excited because of all the things that happened just because they said it in His name. Don't miss that. Don't miss that. That was a true apostolic demonstration of a father sending the children to go do what he was taught and taught them to do and come back. Guess who gets the glory? God gets the glory. The Father sees, good and well done, my son. Why? Because you obeyed what I taught you. You were disciplined in what I said, and you did it. Then the rest, he shows them more, and he deals with their character, deals with who they are, so they can begin to understand what he's about to do and where he's about to go. They weren't ready for that. But 3.5 years of ministry, Jesus completed his mission. In 3.5 years. That's a quick work. If we can be quick with our work, we shouldn't fear death. Shouldn't fear death. I don't like it, but I ain't going to fear it. And I know this to be the word of the Lord, because this past week, I've had nothing but fear of death. And that's not my nature. I said, well, I ain't going nowhere. I am nowhere near done. And the enemy was just lying. I'm going to just share something real quick. Because you are about to bring something that is transformation, it's going to transform the atmosphere, the climate, and the things in the atmosphere. The enemy takes notice and tries to stop you any way possible. That the enemy will send a curse or a way of a curse to stop you. Now, I'm just going to say this, and some of y'all may not like this, but it's true, so you're going to hear it. Witches and warlocks will send a curse via a night creature. And the owl will perch itself around your home in the middle of the night to carry the curse to you. So I was meaning, that's okay. We had an owl last night. You better discern. You better discern if it's something that was sent via a curse, a witch sent it to you. There's times I said, no, it's just hunting varmints, you know, little rats and mice and stuff. And there's other times, ooh, no. That's not. Well, this past week, I think it was Monday night. No, it wasn't. What? When was it? When we heard that noise. It was this week. And it may even have been for Thursday. Thursday, I ministered at another church that night. And I heard a distinctive sound that wasn't a good sound at all. And I got up, went downstairs. My watchdog is It's a sleep dog. It's not a watchdog. It's a sleep dog. Paid no mind to me opening the back door and everything, making all kinds of noise. The dog, ow. Oh, man. I open up that door and I look up in the tree, and this was no owl. It was a different creature I've never seen before. I've never seen it before. I said, oh, you're not welcome here. You need to leave this premises, and that curse goes with you back to the sender. And I walked back in. I started praying. And the Lord reminded me of this. And it brought so much peace to me that I went back upstairs and went straight to sleep. He says, how can someone curse what I have blessed? They can try to curse you, but it'll be to null effect. It won't come into effect. It will be canceled. But we have a responsibility to learn and distinguish a sound, whether it's of God, if it's of nature, or as if it's the enemy. And if we don't understand the sound, we can be led astray and open up a door that the curse can come in if we're not careful. I said, Lord, I am too blessed to be stressed. And I'm not going to fear this anymore. And I'm not talking about, remember, I was thinking about death. I don't know what the heck I was thinking about death for. But I knew what it was after all this transpired. Is the enemy's trying to kill life that resides in the sound that is getting ready to come forth. Don't miss this. Because in the very beginning, I shared with you that the enemy, the dragon, was coming to kill the baby that was about to be born. He is the Word of God. He is the sound of God. He is the very pneuma, the breath of God. So anytime there's a sound being released, the enemy wants to come and kill the sound to distort the sound before it's ever released. Have you ever heard a song that is not properly tuned in on the radio? You can't enjoy it because it's too distorted. In other words, there's not a divine connection that is going to bring the signal even stronger. Until you make the divine connection, the sound becomes clear. You have to fine-tune it. Now, nowadays, we have all those remote controls and those TVs that they tune themselves. But back in the day, you had that big old knob that you can turn the little knob inside the knob. Right. Don't let me get this prophetic with you. You know, you got to turn the wheel that's in the wheel. Right. And you got to fine tune the wheel within the wheel. Right. To hear what is coming. Right. To get a clear picture. That's the Word of God. Fine tune, hear the wheel within the wheel so you can begin to get things that are distorted become more clear for you. We got to hear it. We got to hear the sound. In 1 Samuel 4 and Samuel 7, it gives a clear illustration of distinguishing the sound. Watch this. In Samuel 4, the sound of men fill the enemy with fear. But a sound of God is what defeats the enemy in 2 Kings 7:6. Are you understanding this? When people gather together, a sound out of men can strike fear. But a sound from God can give you victory. Do you understand this? In 1 Corinthians 14:7 through 8 on the Amplified reads this way. Yet even lifeless things, whether flute or harp, when producing a sound, if they do not produce a distinct musical tone, how will anyone listening know what is piped or played? And if the war bugle produces a distinctive sound, who will prepare himself for battle? God used instruments through everything, even in every war and every battle. He used an instrument. And I found it very interesting that he would use all of these strings, instruments, and wind instruments. The reason for that is because it releases a distinctive sound in the atmosphere that begins to create a positive effect against the enemy. Because I said, a positive effect against the enemy, meaning that God begins to give a tone and a sound coming from his people that it makes the enemy begin to fear and move away because there's a sound that they never heard before.
Amen. Amen.
Oh, y'all better hear this. In Isaiah 13, verse 4, the NIV reads, "Listen, a noise on the mountains like that of a great multitude, a sound. Listen, an uproar among the kingdoms like nations massing together. The Lord Almighty is mustering an army for war." There is a sound in the mountains of people coming together, masses coming together, because God is preparing them to come together in unity because of an encroaching battle. Are you understanding? God is bringing them together for a reason. He's calling his army to rise together, to gather, and to prepare for battle. Now watch this. How do you prepare for battle? Keep the Ark of the Covenant and his presence with you in every battle. Because every battle that the Israelites would go and fight, as long as the Ark of the Covenant was with them, they won every single battle. But when the Ark, the presence of God, wasn't with Israel, they lost every single battle. That is showing you we need his presence, his covenant, his promise, and knowing that we are his covenant people, we can walk into battle with God on our side, him as our banner, him as our forward guard and our rear guard, saying, "I'm with you everywhere that you go, and I will deal with these giants in the land, and I will rid them once and for all. Just take me with you. Don't leave me behind. Take me in every battle that you go to, and watch as I rid the giants in your life." 1 Samuel 4, 1 through 7 says, "Now the Israelites went out to fight against the Philistines." The Philistines are who? The giants. "The Israelites camped at Ebenezer and the Philistines at Aphek. The Philistines deployed their forces to meet Israel. And as the battle spread, Israel was defeated by the Philistines, who killed about 4,000 of them on the battlefield." Verse 3. "When the soldiers returned to camp, the elders of Israel asked, 'Why did the Lord bring defeat on us today before the Philistines?'" Watch this. "The elders said, 'Let us bring the Ark of the Lord's covenant from Shiloh, and he will go with us, save us from the hand of our enemies.' So the people sent men to Shiloh, and they brought back the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord Almighty, who is enthroned between the cherubim, and Eli's two sons, Hophni and Phinehas, were there with the Ark of the Covenant of God." Now watch this, verse 5. "When the Ark of the Lord's covenant came into the camp, all Israel raised such a great shout that the ground shook. Hearing the sound, the uproar, the Philistines asked, 'What's all this shouting in the Hebrew camp?' When they learned that the Ark of the Lord had come into the camp, the Philistines were afraid, and 'God has come into the camp,' they said, 'Oh no, nothing like this has happened before.'" That your giants know when God, in the presence of God, is with you. And that when you go and face these Philistines, these are the giants in your life, as long as you're walking with the presence of God, you are going to defeat the enemy. You're going to defeat what has come against you. You're going to defeat what is standing against you. And you will walk in total victory. You just got to keep his presence with you and walk knowing and shout before the battle begins. Because you will change the atmosphere with the sound. You will begin to change the frequency in which you're hearing the enemy speak to you.
Amen.
Woo! This ain't good stuff. Watch this in 1 Samuel 7. A few chapters later, watch this. Samuel now is the one that is helping Israel to have a better understanding of what is necessary and what to do. He is counseling them. He is giving them advice. He is speaking directly to what Israel needs to do. Now watch this. 1 Samuel 7, 1 through 14. This is what he tells them, because now they're getting ready to be attacked. What he does, he calls a fast and he calls the people to repentance. Don't miss this. Please don't miss this. We want victory in areas. We've got to repent. And guess what he told the people of Israel? Get rid of your idols. And get rid of your idols and all your idol worship, your astral poles, and everything that you believe to be a god. Get rid of them. Rid yourself of everything that's not of God and begin to repent that you put your trust in something else other than Him. And in that repentance, you got to fast. And this is what happened. When they began to do that, there was a sound in the people. A sound of repentance came, and the Philistines and those that were coming against them again began to understand there is something going on, because there's a different sound coming from Israel that we haven't heard before. They heard the shout that the ground shook. Now they're hearing repentance. Now they're hearing them begin to fast and begin to pray. It's a different sound. Don't miss this. When you begin to move into a place of sanctification, you begin to see that the enemy takes notice of what you're doing. That it's a different sound. Then you read on right before verse 14. It says that they defeated the Philistines, and that they lived in peace for 14 plus years because the sound that came from within the camp. It caused the enemy to flee and gave Israel victory over them while they were fleeing. God knows how to get rid of the giants in your life. He knows how to get rid of them. Will you listen to the command and the sound in which He tells you to do it so that you can receive your victory? Are you ready to hear the sound? Are you hearing a clear sound? Because if you're hearing a clear sound, then you're able to respond accordingly. But if you're not hearing a clear sound and you're hearing a distorted sound, you're going to miss what God has, which is victory over your enemies. Your enemy is not always someone or something or people opposing you. Your enemy is what's opposing God's will for your life. And some of those things come in different forms. By way of mental fatigue, fear, hopelessness, demonic attacks, demonic influences to try to lead you astray, because it brings so much distortion into your life, you don't know how to hear what God is saying. God wants to rid that once and for all. Some of the giants in your life have to do with your finances, your family, your children, and your health. God wants to rid that too. But will you hear the sound? And will you respond? We have a choice to make. Will we change our sound to hear His sound? We must change first before we begin to hear clearly. We have to fine-tune our walk. That don't mean to be religious. And that definitely does not mean for you to be all kinds of, so holy that nobody wants to be around you. We just have to be real. Amen. We have to be real. Because a real world wants to meet a real person that needs a real God. Amen. And that has encountered a real God being a real person. Amen. Not someone being fake. The world needs a real God. Are you willing to be the sound that carries out of this room and take it to the streets meaning it can be your job, it can be a marketplace, wherever you're at, even at a grocery store, giving someone a hug and didn't realize that you would hug them. And break barriers with love. A demonstration of God's love demonstrates his power. God added unto the church in the day of Pentecost 3,000. How? His love. He loved them enough to change the language and the sound of those so that they could hear the direction that there is a true God that's living on this. And he's still on the throne. Amen. Stand to your feet if you would, please, as we close.